Welcome to church. To all our online viewers from YouTube and Facebook and to our radio listeners on Kingfisher FM, a very warm welcome to you. So church in the building, can you please help me welcome all those joining us online? And then can you also help me thank Tim, Kia, and the team for leading us so wonderfully in worship this morning. So as I said earlier, my name is Michael Collier. It's a joy to welcome you to church this morning. I'm not preaching. Vincent is preaching this morning. So I've just got a short section here to build on the Church News podcast. I hope you're enjoying it. Something new. And we're going to talk about the month of activation. So that's the month of February. It's our opportunity to create spaces for you to get involved. So last week, Etienne, Nesta, and Marius, thank you. A round of applause for our worship team. Still serving on Sundays. So speaking of the worship team, last week I spoke about everybody in the orchestra playing their part. So Etienne has just walked off. Etienne heads up the East Cape Philharmonic Orchestra and plays in our National Philharmonic Orchestra. So, okay. Good job, Etienne. He's a music teacher at Grey, but he wasn't the music teacher from Grey that I was referring to last week that I was scared of. So there's an opportunity for each one of us to play our part in the orchestra. Scripture defines us as a body of Christ, each one ready to play their part. And so the month of activation is our opportunity to open up a way for you to play your part. And also for you to make big church small by finding your community, your fellow dream teamers, like-minded people that you get to do life with on a Sunday and throughout the week. And so the month of activation is that opportunity for you to sign up and say, hey, here I am, Lord, send me. You've given me a gift. Let me use it to contribute to the building up of the body in love. Can you say amen? So we use the big five animals to describe the various spaces we can get involved. It's why Vince and I are dressed wearing safari shirts today. That was just a coincidence, and we're wearing the same shirt, actually. So that was very similar. But the five spaces that you can get involved in the life of the church, are we use the animals for that. So the first one we call the buffaloes. Because buffaloes go in herds, and so those are the spaces that we can get involved in on a Sunday, because it's to welcome people in their numbers and to serve in numbers. So that's anything from welcoming in the parking lot, to being a helping hand in the coffee shop, to being a welcoming and friendly face at the door, or to be in the guest lounge afterwards to help new guests feel at home. So if you feel like that's a space that you can get involved in, then being a buffalo is the space for you. Then also on a Sunday, we have kids' church. And so we call those the elephants, because elephants look after their young. So that's the space to get involved in. And so if you have a heart for the next generation to be raised up in the way of the Lord, you feel like I can serve with kids or I can work in the background of kids' church, I just want to make it happen, then signing up to serve in kids' church is a space for you. Then also on a Sunday, I hope I'm going in the right order, Curtis, is the lions. Okay, we're going to talk about lions next. Ah, almost got it right. Okay, the lions, the group hosts. So that's more midweek, finding your small community, opening up your home and opening up your heart to host people and facilitate a conversation in a small group. We learn in rows, but we grow in circles, if I can quote Andy Stanley. So it's finding the small church, finding a community group or grow group that would have been called in different church backgrounds. So we're calling them small groups, an opportunity for you to open up your home and say, here, I'll lead one. You can lead one at a church if you feel like that's a more central location or you need a place to host. We've got material for you to use, or you can open up your home and host a small group. So those are our lions, because lions look after their pride. So that's why they're a lion. And then our leopards. So leopards are beautiful but lesser spotted, right? And those are our creative types. Sometimes they're in the background, they're in the production room, that's what's making this come up on the screen, and that they're the ones who designed it, or they're behind a camera or a sound desk, or they're on the stage leading in worship. So if you've got a gift in that area, that you're part of the creative type of people, I'm not, but maybe Vincent and many others are. So if you'd like to share your gift in that way, then being a leopard is part of that. And then finally, we have the rhinos. Rhinos are rare and endangered. And so we use that to describe our kingdom investors. if you feel like maybe serving on a Sunday is not practical, or perhaps your business schedule is too hectic during the week, but you have a heart for generosity, perhaps you've got a wisdom that you can share with us on how to steward well what God has asked us to steward, and you want to share that wisdom with us, then there's a space for you to serve as well by being a Kingdom investor and signing up to be a Rhino. So where can you sign up? Well, if you're here in Mandela Bay, there's an activation station just outside entrance 3. Zimmy and the team will be there afterwards to sign you up. But you can go to the information station at entrance 2 or the alpha station at entrance 1. Or you can come speak to one of us. Or if you're online, you can sign up using the website or a link in the comments. There's many ways that you can get involved. But we'd love for you to say, okay, Lord, here I am. Send me. With the gift you've given me, may I use it to honor you and build up the body of Christ in love. Can you say amen to that? Thank you very much. Will you please help me welcome up Vincent to share the message this morning?
Thanks, Michael. Thank you so much. Hello, good morning, church. Good. Now you're wondering. Vincent usually goes over time. What is he going to do today? Because it's 13 minutes to 10. But it's important that you consider ways to get involved in church, okay? I'm a leopard. I'm trying to change my spots. But listen, we're going to talk today about what do you do when you don't know what to do, and you don't know, you want to do something, but you can't do the thing that you think you should do, and you don't know, you just don't know what to do. And so we're going to talk about that. Driving styles. I'm going to use driving styles as an illustration. So some of you say, Vincent, I don't have a car. I'd like one. But you've driven something, a bumper cart or something. And I want to talk about driving styles. So who here has got this sort of, I don't want to name any towns. I come from Utenag. Who's got the Utenag driving style? Anybody here? No? That's not you. Who's got the driving is the last thing on my list driving style? I mean, you hardly hold the steering wheel. You don't look in front of you much. I had a friend. His name is Brenton. And when you got in the car with him, he'd sit in his chair. And then if there's a passenger, he'd turn and put his one leg up like this. And he'd talk to you while driving. It's like driving is very low on the list of the things that he was doing. I wanted to comment on Michael's driving style. Okay. Now, I've used Michael's car a few times. It's very gracious whenever you need something or there's a gap. But when you get into his car, the only thing more upright than Michael and his character is his chair. Because when you get in the car, it forces you to have the correct driving position. So it's very calm. And I don't want to change it because I don't want to be an irritation to him. So I don't change it. So I want to talk about driving styles. I want to tell you that you should have both hands at the wheel. Now, sometimes believers, we think, I'm going to let go and let God. But there are some things we have to get a grip on and keep a grip on. And I'm going to tell you about those two things today. And those two things will help you to know what to do when I don't know what to do and I don't know where I am and I don't know what's going on. So there are a few things that Christians always say when, when we don't know what to do. Here's the first one. Like I said, just let go and let God. What does that mean? God put me on the earth. I've got to do something. Just let go and let God. I get the sentiment. There's another thing we say, is when Christians have a bad day and we don't know what to say, we don't say, I am having a bad day. We say, I'm under attack. it's a tough season, brother. It's a tough season, sister. How about this one? I've always had problems with this one. God is in control. What? But God put me here. I need to control something. I need to know what I can control and what I'm not allowed to control and what he's controlling. And then sometimes we grab the wheel and we think God's got the wheel. Who's got the wheel? And then the most famous one in my house, Jesus, take the wheel. That one's famous in my house when family things are happening and the girls are saying this and doing that. Jesus, take the wheel. But then I wanted to mention something about prayer. It's something we say about prayer here at Father's House. Is somebody once said to me, Vince, I don't know what to do, but at least I can pray. And then I said, no. At most, you can pray. At most, we can pray. So the first hand on the wheel I'm going to talk about today is the hand of prayer. It must always be on the wheel. It will give you a sense of assurance, a sense of certainty about what God's doing. And sometimes we let go of prayer and of the other hand on the wheel. We feel things are out of control. Or you see somebody in your life and you think, their life's out of control. What can I do for them? What do you do then? Somebody in your life is going through a difficult time and you feel powerless. What do you do? Well, here's the first thing we do.
Worry.
I'm going to worry. I go to Google and say, what if I'm doubting God? I'm going to phone somebody I respect and say, I'm having this problem and I don't know if I, you know, I don't know if I think God is this or that. And what we do then? But I wanted to make a definition of worry for you today. The definition of worry is to be irritated with God. I know it's a strong, I was hoping people would laugh, but am I going too fast? Everyone's okay. Well, it is really. Jesus says, don't worry about your life or what you'll wear. Actually, when we worry deeply, we are irritated that things don't go our way. We are irritated that God hasn't solved this or done that or heard these things. And so we take our hands off the wheel and we worry. Matthew 6 tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? In the book of 1 Timothy, it's written in chapter 2, it says that he's urging everyone to have petitions, prayers, and intercessions to be made for all people. He says in verse 8, I want men to lift up holy hands, to pray without anger or disputing. We need to have both hands on the wheel. The first hand, prayer. I shared at a wedding yesterday, I had the privilege of doing a wedding for a family we've known for a long time. And I read the scripture that says, rejoice always, pray continually. I thought, but I'm not always walking around praying. Are you? Maybe I'm alone. But I did a study on that, just those two words, pray continually. And what it means is, let everything you act in reverberate the prayers you prayed in the closet with God. And in that way, you always pray because your actions echo your prayers. It's like I'm praying. It's like I'm praying. Hey. So, both hands at the wheel. Let's look at what happens in Acts 16. We're going to focus on Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 31. A little bit of context of what's going on here. Paul and Silas are thrown in prison because they're causing a bit of problems. Okay, there was this lady who was walking around. Other people were making money off this lady because she was sort of, she could fortune tell. And so she followed these people around, and she then fortune told that these men are actually from God. And she only did that, and the people who were making money off of her no longer making money. And so they threw them into prison. So these people are causing an uproar here. It's not our vibe. Throw them in prison. And verse 25 then says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. There are people who are captive in things. They're listening to us Christians. They're listening. You think they're not listening at work. They're listening. You think they're not listening in your home. They're listening when you pray or when you sing. When your hand's on the wheel, even they feel more secure. They won't tell you, okay? But even they feel more secure. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. The jailer called for lights. Hey, if you sing at midnight, people will call for the light. They rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." What a powerful piece of scripture. When we sing in the night, others will call for the light. Lights! I want to see what they see. Some of us are in prisons. Some are not. You're free. When you sing those songs of freedom, you mean it. We are free to dance, to sing, to serve, to love. That's what freedom is. I choose to use the freedom Christ gave me to serve others, to love them, and to love God. But some of us here are in prisons. You're working with somebody who's in a prison. And you are now the neighbor of a prisoner somewhere in your life, in your home, or where you go. So if you're not a prisoner, become a prison singer. If you're not a prisoner, become a prison singer. Bring a song of hope in the darkness. Here's what Isaiah 61 says. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." This is a template. Jesus fulfilled this. It is now our mandate. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release them from darkness. Release from darkness the prisoners. Oh, we pray that the prisoners would hear our songs. So why do we pray? In Luke 11, Jesus was praying, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And I'm going to give you three reasons, three big reasons, I guess, and effects of us praying. The first reason is because we need to. We pray because we need to. We need to because our wits have an end. Have you ever come to your wits' end? "Lord, I don't know. I can't think of a way out. I'm out of options, God. Lord, my son is on. I've got no more. What do I do, Lord? Lord, with my health, I don't know. I'm at my wits' end, Lord. We've seen all the doctors. We've done all the things. I'm at my wits' end." We need to pray because our wits have an end. We need to pray because our wills have an end. We cannot persevere without prayer, church. We cannot carry on indefinitely without this hand on the wheel. Our wills have an end. Have you ever thought, like, "I can't carry on like this. I can't carry on. I just can't carry on. Vince, I can't carry on." Pray, because our wills have an end. We need to because our wisdom has an end. We have limited wisdom. You might think that you're very clever, but wisdom and cleverness are not the same. I know clever people who are not wise. And I know a lot of wise people who are not necessarily clever. I want to be wise. I need to pray to become wise. James 1:5 says, "If you lack wisdom, ask. And God gives without finding fault with anybody." How powerful. Ask. There's a story of a man who was taken up into heaven. It's a sort of a story, okay? It's not really. And he said, in the vision, he saw just gifts everywhere, lying around in heaven with names on it of people who didn't ask. You know, when you've done something, and let's say you had to fix something at home, or you had a problem, and you struggled to fix this problem. And you tell a friend about it the next day, and they said, "Why didn't you ask? I've got one of those things lying around. Eh? You should have asked. Lord, I need wisdom." Ask. Ask. If there's anything I'm doing today, is to exhort us to be a praying, praising church. Yeah, that's what we've got to be. Unashamed that we pray because we need to. Secondly, we pray because we must. We must. Why? If we want to know God at all, we must pray. We must pray. Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray like those hypocrites with long prayers. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. But why ask then? Because it's not about getting the thing. It's about getting to know God. About getting to know Him. You know, we must pray if we want to know God. If you say, Vince, I want to know God, you must pray. You must pray. You know, we must pray. If you ever want to help another person, you must pray. If you want to help others, pray. Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We're praying, Lord, in accordance with your plan, with your provisions for this person, with your plan for this, with your hopes and forgiveness for this person. We pray in that for them. I spoke to a father before the service. Thanks for sharing. But when their daughter was younger, they prayed when she couldn't pray. So sometimes we pray because we must to help others because they can't. 1 John 5:14 to 16 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. We pray because we must, if we want to know God, help others and do His will. And do His will. So with these first two, we pray because we need to and because we must. What happens when we pray is prayer changes me. Sometimes we want to pray, God, change the situation. But sometimes, if you've ever been in love, oh, look at my beautiful wife here. I'm still in love, always in love. So, if you're in love, everything else in the world is the same. But your heart is now devoted to this person. So, prayer. Maybe things stay the same around you when you pray, but your heart changes. So we pray because we need to. And it changes us. It changes the person in the circumstances. Circumstances is like a beautiful, lovely feather duvet. It's lovely to be on top of it. But if it's on top of you, you're going to smother. So prayer is our way of being on top of the circumstances. Prayer, secondly, can change others because we must pray. Lastly, Jesus told the disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It's Luke 18, verse 1. Then he tells the story of the persistent widow who keeps asking the judge for her to be justified. And he then breaks and says, okay, well, yes, okay, eventually. You know, we pray because we can. She asked because she could. Sometimes we forget that we can pray. Ask, seek, and knock. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. Ask, seek, knock, pray because we can. Do you know that we couldn't pray unless it's for the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us? The privilege of prayer is bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We'll pray because we can. And we are no longer alienated from God. Sometimes we pray, Holy Spirit, come. But maybe when we pray, we realize, I must just be aware that He is inviting me to come. And I enter in and realize when I pray, when I ask, when I seek, and when I knock, that I'm standing in the very presence of God, bought by the blood of Jesus. So prayer changes circumstances through me. A new person walks into that same circumstance and it can change. So instead of asking God, change the things around me, say, Lord, change me. Change my heart, oh God. You know that song? Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Compared to the world, when they sing about roads, they sing, I'm on a highway to... Don't say it. Or, what's that song? You got a fast car. Na-na-na-na-na-na. Anyway, I'm on a highway to... I'm on a narrow way to heaven. That's what we should be singing. Yeah, change my heart, God. Change the person and the circumstances. God, when I think about my children, I don't want to hide them away from the world. I want to train them to get in there, strong, confident, blessed, ready, because they've asked. They know that God is with them, for them, not against them. They can face any circumstance out there. When I spoke to the one parent connect, I read a proverb that says, the sluggard says, there are tigers out there, you know, not leopards and buffalo. There are tigers out there. And then they put the covers back over their head and don't go out. Well, it doesn't say there aren't tigers out there. There are tigers out there. Your children are going to see things. Teach them to be able to have the wisdom to stand and know what to say, know when to pray. Don't hide them away from the world. They are being sent as lights into the darkness. Okay. So, I wanted to ask you an important question. What happens if we don't pray? Can we have the answer, please? Nothing. So, if you're okay with nothing happening, don't pray. You see, prayer, you might see people and you say, Vincent, I see people who are happy all the time, who never pray. I say, but, and because Christians, we've taught, we say like, if you don't pray, brother, you'll suffer. But I know some people who are pretty fine without prayer. Do you know what suffers if we don't pray? It's not your life. It's the life of Christ in you that suffers. Prayer is watering that life of Christ within us, becoming more and more like him, to trust him, to be changed into his likeness. If you want that, pray. We nourish that life of God, that effervescence, that permanence of who we are. Our eternal nature gets nourished through prayer. There's a beautiful psalm I want to read. I'm almost done, I promise, okay? Psalm 107. 28 to 32 says, no, just some context. This little chorus that we're going to read happens twice in the psalm, if you read it. The psalmist gives some scenarios. He's talking about rebellious people, people who lie, people who are wild, people who are drunk. Then he says, then these people, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people that's here and praise him in the council of the elders. These people cried out in their distress, and he helped them. You see, real prayer gets us more in touch with reality. You know, often you don't go pray because you don't want to face that thing. You don't really want to face what's honestly happening. You shy away from prayer because you know there's something you have to repent of. There's something you have to address. So we neglect prayer because we feel a sense of condemnation in that moment. I want to say that that's where the enemy sticks his finger in. He says, don't go pray unless you know. But prayer helps us face the realities of who we are. Go to God when you doubt. Take your doubts to Him. God, I'm doubting you. Help me. Don't go to Google. What must I do when I doubt God? Lord, I'm doubting you now. Help me. I feel like the flame is growing dim. I wait upon you here. When you're frustrated, go to God. God, I'm worried. I'm irritated with you because it's not going my way. Help me see. Why do we shy away when we know we've got to face the realities of these things? But you know what happens eventually? You're going to face that reality one way or another. And it'll hurt later on. Take it to Him now. God, I'm frustrated because I'm not healed yet. I pray. God, I'm frustrated because we don't have children yet. I thought it'd be here by now. Clock's ticking. God, take it to Him. Run to Him. And you know what? You will never think of something God forgets. Oh, isn't that comforting? He loves you. He loves us. You will never think of something that He forgets. Lord, I feel alone. My children have left the home. He knows. Take it to Him and pray. You will never think of something that He forgets. Pray. That's the one hand. Don't worry. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes on the other hand. Praise. Pray and praise. Gives us a good grip on God's plan for our lives, His vision for the future. Helps us be secure. Listen to this, Acts 16:25 again. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. So what can you do when you don't know what to do and somebody in your life doesn't know what to do and you don't know what to do about that thing that they don't know what to do about? Pray and sing. Why I'm saying this, because I hope most of you, some point in time, is going to drive something. And when you put your hands on the car's wheel today, tomorrow, and this week, you'll remember, pray and praise for the things I can't control, for the things that I don't know what's going on, for those people in my life, pray and praise. The one hand and the other hand. Good. You know, the prisoners are listening. And there's a difference between singing at midday or praising at midday when everything's good, when everything's going my way, everything. Praise God, brother. Everything's going my way. Okay. And I tell you, there's a different testimony when people see you praise at midnight. Remember a few weeks ago, I preached about having a song in the night. Have a song in the night. You'll give hope to others who are in stocks and who feel like they're behind prison doors. Sing your song in the night. It's a great testimony of the grace of Jesus when we can even sing when the chips are down and when things don't go my way. 4,000 years ago, Job lived. He got everything taken away. And when everything was taken away, he says, the Lord gives and He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When He gives, blessed be the name of the Lord. When He takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I'm healthy, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I'm sick, blessed be the name of the Lord. When I have 100 friends, blessed be the name of the Lord. When it's just me and I feel alone, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then Job has sores from the top of his head and to his feet. They say, curse God. And he says, though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. Oh. You know what? There's another thing we can do with a left and a right hand, with prayer and praise. The gloves are off. Get your gloves off. Get a good right hook for the enemy. Hey, a biggie drikus duplessis. Pray and praise. Kom, ek kom vir jou. Vyand. We said this year is a skrikkeljaar. In Afrikaans, a leap year is called a skrikkeljaar. So I said, ons gaan die duivel maak skrik hierdie jaar. Praise. And we need to swerve for his lies. Pray and praise on the wheel. Get your posture right like Michael. Pray and praise. Gaan nie my vang nie. Gaan nie my vang nie. I've got prayer and praise. The gloves are off. Well, the hands are on the wheel. I want to make an appeal today with you. If you don't mind standing, let's stand together to wrap up in this way. We can have people up front who can pray for you. But I wanted to ask today, if we want to be a praying, praising church, let's step into a little bit of this today. Is that okay? I want to make four appeals. Four small appeals in this moment. The first appeal, are you sick here today? You've got a backache. You've got migraines. You've got issues with your lungs. Are you sick today? We want to pray for you. The word says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then we should, the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. We want to step in there today. Trust that this word is not my word, it's God's word. We want to pray for you today. If you have healing need in your body today, take your frustration to God now. And I just want us just to close our eyes for a moment. Just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Lord. We're going to make these four appeals today, Father. Would you come and meet us? Would you come and do a mighty work today? And while our eyes are closed, I just want to ask, if you're ill, if you're believing for healing somewhere, would you raise your hand for me so we could pray for you? Yeah, thank you. Just raise your hand if you're believing for your body to be healed. You're frustrated. Let's bring it to God today. Especially God was talking to me about headaches, migraines, from being anxious, from blood pressure as well, stomach things. If that's you, we're going to pray for you. The second appeal today is someone you know is sick. And it's causing them to drift. They are frustrated. You feel like you're helpless. You've got no hands on the wheel. We're going to put the hands on the wheel today. If you're praying for somebody today who needs to be healed, who you know, could you stick up your hand and acknowledge that? If you're praying for somebody who needs healing, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, yeah. The third appeal is if your heart is sick, you're discouraged, you're angry, you're bitter, you're brokenhearted, or your heart is anxious, I want to pray for you today. Would you stick your hand up so I can know? If you're just brokenhearted, you know, he's near to the brokenhearted. We're going to pray for sick hearts today. We're going to pray. And then lastly, the fourth appeal. If you know somebody who's in a prison, would you stick up your hand? Somebody, Vince, in my life, I'm thinking of them now. I'm thinking of them now, Vince. We're going to put both hands on the wheel. So church, let's lift up our hands together. All of us, let's lift up our hands together. Where we are, we're going to hand this over to God. Jesus, for those who need healing in the body, we pray for a touch of your hand. Holy Spirit, would you bring restoration to every part? Would you heal and make well, restore bodies in Jesus' name. Would you also banish fear that comes with physical illness in Jesus' name for these people who put up their hands? Father, would you comfort and heal? Holy Spirit, make their bodies as it is in heaven, here on earth now, that the realities of heaven would be made known in their body in Jesus' name now. Father, for those who we know that are sick, who are at home, who are in hospital watching right now, Father, would you touch in Jesus' name and restore in Jesus' name. Father, for those whose hearts are sick here, who are discouraged, who cry in the night, at midnight, they're not praising, they are pleading with you, God. They are burdened. Lord, would you lift the burden? Would you show them where the burden landed on the cross of Calvary and it is buried in the ground, lost in hell forever? Father, would you lift the burden off in Jesus' name? Would you repair the broken places of their hearts? Would you bind up those wounds of long ago for the people who are standing here today? They're standing with wounds that are 50 years old. Father, would you heal and bind up in Jesus' name? And Father, we pray for those who are imprisoned, who are lost. Father, help us sing when they are near. Help us encourage when they are near. Help us show them your grace when we are near. Would you bring them home? Would you bring them home, Jesus? Would you bring them home? And Father, for us as a church, we are not perfect, Lord. We will make mistakes. Lead us, guide us, protect us, provide for us. Holy Spirit, we trust in you. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you, if you still want somebody to pray with you here up front, come to us afterwards. We'll pray for you. And so now, Father, as we go out in our week, we pray that both hands would be on the wheel and we would know the assurance of your love, the comfort that comes from your fatherly heart, and the power of Jesus in every single day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you so much. We'll see you in the coffee shop afterwards. This evening is wholehearted worship. We hope to see you there as well.